Welcome to Discast.
Yes, that's right. We're coming to our last Discast episode in 2006 now. This is episode 12 for December 2006.
That's right, it's Christmas time.
It is. It's a very festive atmosphere in the air. Would you not agree, John?
It is. It certainly is over here in the Discast recording studio.
Oh, yes.
The tinsel is up, as is the tree.
I've got a light-up star here and a few kind of crib scene, so that's good.
Excellent. I've got a little snowman that when you press a button, it spins around and sings a Christmas carol. So,
wow, really?
It's really cool.
Sounds good.
Anyway, would you like to give us a run-through for this month's episode, Joe?
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure, John.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll start off with the run-through. Oh, that's what we're doing now. Then we'll move on to the world news from the past month, as always, a comprehensive insight. We'll have our FPA news, just a few quick updates this month about what's going on with the FPA there. Then it'll be our Discast discussion. Now, this month it's a really special one, I think. We've got the world number one, Tom Leitner,
yep,
here to discuss. We're not going to interview him this month, actually. What we're doing is we're discussing the schedule and the upcoming tournaments in 2007. Yep. It's a very interesting and it's quite an extended discussion, really, isn't it, John?
That's right. It's just a big 2007 preview,
yep,
really.
2007 preview. As we come to the end of 2006. Then we've got a Guess the Jammer update. Now this will include, of course, the answers from last month's tantalising last ever clue, and also the result for who's won the overall prize. And yes, John's standing by with the hat, and we will be drawing the result live from the hat. That's the prize draw. Then we're going to have the Frisbee Fact segment, and since it's my turn, since it's the season of goodwill and all, I decided to give you all a few facts this month. So we've got a bumper fact segment coming up before
Fantastic. Our
usual conclusions, goodbye, and you might just hear a Christmas tune or two at the end as well.
You might, from my snowman. Okay, so the world news for this month. Firstly, the MTA world record has been broken in space by Krista Fuglsang of Sweden. Hope I pronounced that correctly.
Good effort.
Recording a time of 20.52 seconds. This is just to confirm the galactical record, and obviously it breaks the overall record as well, as previously the overall record was 16.72 seconds by Mr. Don Chain of the USA. That still stands as the land record, but the overall record has been broken. And basically, for any of you who don't know, MTA stands for Maximum Time Aloft, and it's basically throwing the disc and seeing how long it stays in the air before you can catch it. And if you try this, it really is quite a difficult skill, so 16.72 seconds on land is, by Don Chain, is really quite impressive. But, yeah. The 20.52 seconds, you know, well done to Mr. Fuglsang, but here at Discast we feel he had a slight advantage over Mr. Chain, being that he was in an area of zero gravity.
Yeah, I think that helped.
Ever so slight advantage, you know, it might have just been slightly easier. Anyway, I think he can probably claim the title of being the first man to throw a frisbee in space, we think. Correct us if we're wrong, please, but that's quite an achievement, though, I think.
Yeah, it's quite an achievement, but required considerably less skill than the land record, I think it must be said.
Definitely. Also, bits of news keep coming in about some of the tournaments taking place early next year, but for a complete lowdown on all of next year's events, just keep listening as we'll be playing our discussion with Mr. Leitner very shortly. Also, frisbee.com has moved home to freestyle-frisbee.com, so make sure you go and edit your favourites list so that you have the correct address. And if you've never actually been on freestyle-frisbee.com, please go and check it out, because there are some awesome features. It's actually the first ever frisbee freestyle website to hit the net. But had its 10th anniversary last year, so over a decade it's been going. There's actually a video on there. It's Tom Leitner's website. He's actually posted a video of the recent MTA record set in space. You can actually see it happening if you're interested. So that's frisbee.com has moved to freestyle-frisbee.com. Also recently, there's been a crop of new freestyle videos appearing online, most of which have been appearing on youtube.com, which is fast becoming the most popular way to display and view freestyle videos.
Sure is.
The most recent include a highlights video from Amsterdam 2006, which me and Joe can claim the title of having made it. It's a cool video, please check it out. Go onto YouTube, just search for Amsterdam. Also, there's a video from the 2006 Lowlands Jam, which is just a bit of a gather-up between the Danish and Dutch players. I think, yeah. And there's also been some new clips from Amsterdam 2005 and 2004, which have been released, partly promoting next year's Worlds in Amsterdam. So go and check them out and see what you think. Get you in the mood for the Worlds next year.
Excellent. And before we get you in the mood for next year's tournaments even more with our discussion,
yep,
we're going to move on to the FPA news. The first item, which is on the FPA agenda for this month, is the election results. And now we've been updating you on the elections for a while, but in the end it's come out that these are the positions and these are the people who are nominated and then voted for unanimously by the FPA board members, I think. There was Lisa Hunricks, who's now in the executive director position. That's a big responsibility. We're sure she'll handle it well. Markus Goetz from Germany is the marketing director for the FPA. And Bethany Sanchez is the new treasurer. So good luck to all those guys in their 3-year terms, which start in January 07.
Yeah, good luck, guys. I'm sure you'll do a fantastic job. Also, the disc design contest, drawing closer to its conclusion. Get your entries in to the FPA as soon as possible, please.
Please do, if you want to see your design on the Skystyler in 2007.
Yep.
Okay, discussion
time. It's time for 2007 preview with Tom Leitner. We'll keep you waiting no longer. Okay, welcome to the Discast discussion for Discast episode 12, December 2006.
We have the pleasure this month of being joined by official world number one. That's Mr. Tom Leitner himself. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cheers. Great to have you here. Okay, so we're going to be having a discussion with Tom this month on the schedule and a general preview of 2007 freestyle. So we're coming to the end of 2006 now, which has been a great year for tournaments. And so looking ahead to what's lined up for next year.
Okay. Excellent. So to start us off, Tom, just in the we're going to look firstly at the January to March period. What tournaments are there available for the Americans for firstly in this period?
Well, there is a tournament in our jam tournament in Puerto Rico that's really awesome. I've actually been out there myself, and if you like to play on the beach and nice strong winds, that's the tournament to be at. Mm-hmm.
Is it usually quite warm in Puerto Rico at that sort of time of year?
Yeah, it is. It's the climate is great year round there, so that's why it's really a perfect event for the winter time. You can head out of wherever you, if you live in a cold climate, take a week down in Puerto Rico and work on your base tan a little bit.
Great. And so what about for the Europeans? What have they got to look forward to in the winter kind of period?
Well, in Europe, basically this year, there's only one event on the schedule, the Boxtmeer Winter Jam, which sounds like a really great event. I didn't make it last year, but it's a Dutch freestyle indoor event in Boxtmeer, which is not too far from the from Amsterdam.
All right.
So that'd be fun. Now, something that hasn't been announced yet, which we're still working on, so it's not official, but there is a chance there might be a tournament in Prague.
All right.
In February, there's an indoor ultimate event that we're looking to partner with, and since there's no other events until Costa Brava in at the end of March, that it might be nice to have a wintertime indoor event here in Europe besides Boxmeer there.
That sounds really cool.
So
how does, you know, is the Boxmeer one, is that an indoor tournament? Did you say?
Yeah, it is also indoor.
Okay. So how does tournaments being indoors, just for those who've had little experience with it, how does it affect the style of tournament play and the level of competition?
Well, the good thing is that it's predictable, so you don't have to worry about wind gusts.
Yeah.
But the harder part is if you're used to playing in the wind, you're going to have to change the angle of your sets to make them more vertical. But if there's space, you can run with the disc and sort of create your own wind for airbrushing runs and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Cool, yeah. So it looks like there's a fair bit on in winter to keep us going. So moving on to more of the spring period, April to May, what tournaments are on here?
Well, basically, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'm pretty sure that the Costa Brava Dam was going to happen again the weekend before Paganello, and that is a ridiculously fun time. Basically, and Costa Brava is a spring break destination for a lot of youth all around Europe, especially in Portugal and Spain and Italy and Germany, and they come down to Costa Brava and basically party on the beach for a week. Now there's a big beach ultimate tournament that we partner with and have also a freestyle jam and a jam event there, and it's just really fun. Ask anybody who's been there, Fabio or Gregory. So whether we have five freestylers or 20, it's always a great time, and I hope people come and check that out.
That sounds good.
And then, it's really good. You can fly into Girona, which is a low-cost route from Ryanair some other companies. And then, of course, following that is Paganello. And last year was the biggest ever, the biggest turnout of players, the biggest crowd. I don't know how you can top it, but they're going to try. So Paganello is a must jam event if you can make it. More American players are coming over this year. Larry Imperiali, Paul Kenny will be there. So it's going to be quite an event.
Yeah. How does it work having the sort of, me and Joe have never been, but having an ultimate tournament mixed with a freestyle, does the ultimate overshadow the freestyle at all, or is it sort of quite well observed by the ultimate players?
Well, the ultimate players are busy playing for most of the weekend. There's 96 teams, I believe, that come play, and it's 1,500 players or more. And basically, what happens is that the entire end of the beach is filled with ultimate fields, and in the center of Paganello Village is where they have the big tent and the freestyle set up and the shops and things like that. So freestyle is sort of the central, it's in the central zone there. So we get the spectators, and when players are finished playing their games, they come by and check out the freestyle. But really, the biggest crowds that we get for the freestyle is during the Saturday night semifinal, which is at the ultimate party.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's really great. And then on Sunday, usually the ultimate teams are still playing, although some of them are already finished. And we don't get as big a crowd for the finals as we do the semifinals. But last year, there was enough local people and media and people who just came out to watch the freestyle that we ended up with at least 500 spectators, probably closer to 1,000. Through the course of the day on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. So with Paganello being such a massive, successful tournament, could it kind of overshadow other tournaments in that kind of period of the year? Or do you think it'll link in well with things like the Costa Brava tournament?
I think it's not that it overshadows it. It's just that the fact that people kind of have to save their money and figure out what they can afford, you know, how much traveling they can afford. So the good thing about Costa Brava is if you can fly there for cheap, the hotels are like 20, 30 bucks a night or something. It's real cheap to come and do. So if, you know, the other thing is if you're taking off extra days to go to Paganello, can you take off the vacation time to go also to Costa Brava? The idea was that if players are traveling from other parts of the world, that they could arrive a weekend early and then do Costa Brava and then stay the week in Rome or Milan or something a few days before Paganello, then, you know, in 9 days hit two events. But, you know, and hopefully that will happen for some of the jammers.
Yeah, hopefully.
Cool, yeah.
So moving on, what else is there in April and May after?
Okay, well, back in America, there's the Fredericksburg, Virginia States event, and that's happening April 13th through 15th, and that's one of the premier events in America. I haven't been there yet, and people are urging me to go, and after last year's turnout, I mean, it was unbelievable, the quality and quantity of players that were there last year. I'm sure it's one of the best events on tour now. And so that's happening. And then there's also going to be the Potterstorff Flying Disc Open, which happens basically May 1st weekend, whether it's a few days before that or during May 1st. It's usually that weekend. And for those players who are flying into Bratislava, which is one of the low-cost airports closest to the event, the players in Bratislava want to do a one-day event on a Thursday before the Pottersdorf event. So,
cool.
We're hoping that we can make that happen. We got places where people can stay and stuff in Bratislava for one night, and that could be a really fun event. And then, let's see, on through spring, we also have back in America the Jacksonville Jammers event.
Paul Kenny's
great jamming event. I've seen some awesome pictures. I've been to his Jammers tournaments before, where one was on the grass and one was on the beach, and the beach out there is unbelievable. It's flat and long with great wind, so that's probably that and the... and also the Virginia State sounded like the two best events in the U.S. last year. Let's see. And that's probably about it. There's also the possibility of an event in May in Bologna, which is near Rimini. There's a group of players in Bologna who have been wanting to run an event, and they kept asking me, well, when should we do it? When should we do it? I go, when's the weather good? And when are there no other tournaments? So we kind of said, okay, well, May is kind of in between. It's after Paganello, but before the World Championships. So May 19th and 20th is what they're looking at for that. Yeah. And there's one more event in May, which is going to be an awesome event. Actually, I talked to Flo, and he said that Florian Hess, he said that... basically, they were contacted by a sports facility saying, hey, do you guys want to run an event? We would really like it if you guys ran an event at our facility.
Oh, wicked.
So, as it turns out, they're going to do the German Championships in Karlsruhe, and that's going to be May 26th and 27th with pairs and co-op. So that should really be a lot of fun.
Okay, so is that just for German players then? If it's the German Championships, or is it open?
No, it's an open tournament. The way they do it is that the highest placed all German team gets the title of German champion. So if you're an American team or an Italian team or a team from another country, you can win that event, but of course you're not going to be German champions.
Yeah.
But if you're a German player and somebody like Larry Imperiali calls you and says, "Hey, I'm going to come to that event. I want to play." Well, that German player has to decide whether he wants to try to win the event with Larry, or try to become German champion with a German partner.
Okay,
that's his choice.
Okay, that's cool.
I see, cool.
So moving on into to June, obviously the big one is the World Championships. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But are there any events before that happening in June?
Yeah, I'm sure that Vagolino will happen. Usually happens about the second weekend of June.
Okay.
And I'm sure that'll be happening again. I don't have the dates for that yet. That's in Milan, and then in America, there's also the Minnesota States, which is the weekend before the Worlds. And that's going to happen in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I'm sure Tim Mackey and Pat Maron and all the jammers out there will be fired up for that event. It's not too far also from other Midwest cities, you know, also Wisconsin, and players maybe from Colorado can come out and shred out in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. So then we have the Worlds.
Yeah, once we hit June 21st, that's the big one in the Netherlands, the Worlds. We've been trying to keep everyone updated on the arrangements here on Discus, but what's the latest that you've heard on how it's coming together, Tom?
Well, it's coming together really well. Gregory and Ewan met with the owners of the bar. Basically, there's the main bar when you first get to Bloomingdale is Bloomingdale's. Bar, and it's in the perfect location. They probably have the biggest indoor bar facility as well in case the weather changes. They're the premier bar on the Strand there to host this event. So
oh, cool.
by the end of that meeting, those guys were so fired up, they called me and we talked for a while, and because the organizers are going to be 100% behind this event and help build the surface supply the sound system, do basically anything it takes to make this event come off the way it should. So it's looking great. Plus, I'm just really stoked because Bloomingdale is such a wonderful area. I mean, the beaches in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands are incredible, but this beach particularly is the place where people come during the summer, and you just have to see it to believe it. And if we get the sun, knock on wood, if we get the sun, that place is going to be packed. And and the fact that it's the weekend of the lowest tides, you know, where the tides are really the best for freestyle for that whole weekend is really going to make a big difference too. So yeah. I know that people were looking at other weekends for different reasons, but I think that Ewan made the right choice going for this weekend, because you'll see when you get out there that having the tides go out in the late morning and not come back in until 7 or 8 at night every day, which really makes a big difference. Yeah.
So what's the, you mentioned about the surface, what's the latest on the playing surface? Is there going to be an artificial one?
Yeah, there'll be an artificial surface. We're just not sure which kind yet. The optimum would be if we could find a sponsor or find someone to help us obtain. Basically, what it's called is martial arts puzzle piece mats. Okay, they're called puzzle piece because they fit together like pieces of a puzzle.
Yeah.
And they're really easy to put together. They're light. They're not hard to set up. And the surface is very good for dance and for the footwork is very good. But it's also good if you land on it. Because it's a pad, so it's the best surface that I've seen, artificial surface I've seen. But there's a possibility that they're looking at other surfaces as well. We'll keep you guys posted.
Okay, posted. Cheers.
So Tom, being that the Worlds in Amsterdam is obviously going to be on the beach in Bloomingdale, how do you think this is going to affect the conditions generally? Like, will there be really heavy wind, for instance, favoring those who play on the beach regularly?
Well, the wind is kind of is the best actually in the summertime there. So It comes from a good direction in the northwest. It's usually around 5 to 10 miles per hour. But with the weather, you can never tell. If it gets stormy, if it gets real windy, which it can sometimes in the Netherlands, then we may have to move indoors. But you know, on average, if it's sunny and you know, and we get decent late June weather, how it, you know, it often is, then we have nothing to worry about. In fact, that's probably the best place you could be for the wind.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking there's a good indoor alternative just in case the weather did get bad?
Basically, we have the bar there, which is a very big area inside. I'm going to be heading out to Amsterdam and meeting with the owners and stuff and making sure that it's big enough and everything.
Yeah.
The ceiling is tall. It's maybe 20 feet or more. So I think it's okay, but I want to take a look firsthand.
Okay, yeah. So just moving on to tournament speculation now. Just firstly, are there any teams arranged already, Tom? Have you got a partner yet for the next year's Worlds?
Actually, I'm looking. Are you available?
Well, I'm afraid I'm already taken. I'm playing with Joe.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
So I know that's a big disappointment.
You owe me one. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see what happens. No, I'm playing with my partner from last year, Reto.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to give it another go.
Oh, good
and
stuff.
Then in co-op, just got back from America. I was working on a routine with my new partners, Ted Overhaus and Randy Sylvie.
Yep.
And then as far as other teams go, I'm sure you guys have heard that the Three Daves are going to play together.
Yeah, we heard about that.
That's awesome.
Dave and Dave. Murph, Shills, and Lewis. And then also the last year's champs, Imperiali, Kenny, and Broder.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there's another team that you might not know about yet that I think is also a threat. The European team of Reto, Clay, and Joachim Avascar.
Oh, that could be
interesting. Those guys are going to actually be working out and performing in Paganello. And then they're going to play also at the World Championships. And it should be a real interesting team because these guys I've never seen partner up together before. Joachim has always played with Stefan. Reto has played with different partners, but never with Clay, I don't think. And so it should be really interesting.
So our Joachim and Clay playing together in Pest?
No. Actually, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Because Clay last year played with Fabio.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who Fabio's partner is yet. So, I'm not sure about that.
Okay. So, I think it's Schiller and Murph are playing together in pairs, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think. And is Dave Lewis partnering? Is it Pipo or is it Pat? I'm not sure.
I think it's Pat.
I think it's Pat this now. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Pat Merrin, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good
pairs. We'll see what happens with teams, but it sounds really interesting already.
There's a few different teams, I think, who can win. And obviously, there's the Gauthier brothers again.
That's right.
He'll be posing a big threat, as always.
Yeah. And then Randy's playing with Ted.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's not even to mention me and Joe.
That's right. No, and there's a ton more really good teams. For example, the Chakawaka team will be playing together.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
The Milan teams are going to be awesome again. I'm pretty sure that Fabio is hooking up with Andrea Maiola and Piccio again. So,
all right.
Then, you know, there's teams from Germany. You've got the Flo and Christian's team. And you've also got some teams from Berlin that are always a threat, and you know, then there'll be the teams that you don't know until they show up, you know. Like what happened in Berlin last year, we're like, well, where did these guys come from? So
yeah,
it should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be good fun.
Brilliant. Okay, So moving, kind of moving through the year to sort of later summer, July and August. Notably, we've got two events in the UK, which me and John are excited about.
We are indeed. The
two extreme sports festivals. Could you tell us a little bit about them, Tom, from your point of view?
Sure. Well, first we have NAS, which stands for the National Adventure Sports Show, which happens in Somerset, England. Now, Somerset isn't too far from Glastonbury. And for some of you who know the word Glastonbury, it's about it's from the famous some of the biggest concerts that have ever happened in Europe.
Yeah, the festival. Yeah.
Almost like a Woodstock sort of concert. So, and Glastonbury is very it's a very cool town too if you get a chance to visit it. So, coming out to the NAS Extreme Sports Challenge, which basically what it is, it's a three-day event where people come in, and they come in on Friday and they set up their camp, they set up their tents, and they stay all the way through Sunday. And there's big parties, there's bands, there's everything. It's basically like a concert where you're let in, and instead of bands playing, there's extreme sports athletes like Matt Hoffman, and last year there was also Tony Hawk. So the fact that I've gotten to know the organizers over the years, and the first year I was there, I just did some demos. The second year, we did a small tournament, and this year he wants to run a bigger tournament, and he's going to give us an area where we can play, basically where the BMX riders do their street BMX competition, and then when they're finished, we're gonna get that area and do our freestyle competition, and it's gonna be off the charts. I know it's 2 weeks after it's 2 weeks after Worlds, but I'm hoping that some American players are going to be able to stick it out and be able to stay that long. It's July 7th and 8th.
Yeah, I really hope they do.
And you know, maybe you could fly into England from America, come to Amsterdam, which is a short trip from England, and then go to NAS and fly back from England back to America. So that's always a possibility.
Yep.
And I'm also hoping that the European players come as well. There's free camping. So if you bring a tent, you know, the free admission, free camping, I'm going to try to also get some other perks for us as well. And it's really, it's the biggest extreme sports festival in Europe.
Yep, guaranteed. Massive crowds all weekend, really. Yeah. Even, it's also a great opportunity, I know I found in when me and Joe came 2 years ago, that just to promote the sport, really. And just, you know, we're doing so many demonstrations and things, and so many people see freestyle in that weekend, and they're all people who are interested in extreme sports because they've gone to the thing in the first place.
Exactly. I mean, it's really the next step I see for freestyle is getting to the stage of becoming, doesn't have to be an extreme sport, but it's a generation X sport, you know.
Sort of alternative.
And you're right. It's like the people who come out to this tournament in NAS are people who like alternative sports. I mean, they're not people who are going to see a football game or a
That's
soccer
right,
game
yeah.
and going crazy. They're out there because they dig the, you know, the diversity that these sports bring, and so this is what we've been wanting for, you know, for freestyle to get on the big stage like these other sports have achieved.
Yeah, and also I think we should point out that if you're not if the festival atmosphere isn't really your thing, then there is a quiet area camping, a quiet zone.
That's right.
So you can just, you know, be there for the day events and things, and for the tournament and the demos.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, the nightlife and the festival is a massive part of it, and it's really quite like no other event, really. I think it's really good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So following NAS, what is there, Tom?
Well, there's also the Rotterdam tournament, which looks like it may happen as well. Matteo Gadoni is in contact with the organizers again, and it's going to happen, I believe, at the same location as last year, in Ostappa in northern Italy. and this the event may happen around the same time as NASS or a few days after, and we're going to have to find out exactly what the dates are, but that's going to happen. And then also the same weekend as NASS is the Santa Cruz Open, which is a overall freestyle and disc golf and maximum time aloft and all the different overall frisbee sports. And Skippy Jammer's going to organize that in Santa Cruz for, he basically is calling it just for a locals tournament in Santa Cruz, like an overall tournament, but he will have freestyle as well. And then after NASS is finished, the weekend after will be the Masters tournament, which probably will also be a WFDF event as well, World Flying Disc Federation Championship, which in freestyle means it's a world title event that hasn't been announced yet. But if it is announced that it's a WFDF, that means it will be a major. And that will happen in Ithaca, New York. Now, Ithaca is not New York City. So just to let you know, I think it's actually closer to Boston than it is to New York City. But it's about 6 hours north of New York City. But I'm not detracting from it at all, because it's in an absolutely beautiful part of the country. If you haven't been to upstate New York, it's really worthwhile going there and checking it out. And the organizers are really fired up. I've been in contact with them, and we're really looking for the best way to do the freestyle so that we can also get an audience and have a good field to play on. So I'm sure we'll get some more updates about that. And then the weekend, so probably the Thursday before that tournament, there'll be a big jam in New York City, though, for All-Star Thursdays. And then the weekend after that event, I believe Doug Simon is working on organizing a jam tournament either at Sheep's Meadow in New York City or on the beach in Long Island near New York there. So if you're making your plans, your travel plans, you might want to try to stay for that week after the Masters and hang out in New York.
Yeah, sounds good. So moving on into August, is there anything worth noting in there?
Yeah, sure. In August, there's the Narragansett Jam. Narragansett Jam, and that's in Rhode Island. It's also near New York there, and that's called the Gathering of the Tribe. And from what I've heard is the playing conditions are incredible. The vibe is awesome. That sounds like a really fun event. So that usually happens in August as well, although they might even move it up a little bit to try to get it closer to Masters for next year. But and then there's also a tournament, the Wisconsin States, that happens in August. And then at the end of August, we're inviting everybody to come back to Europe again.
To the UK.
Yeah, right. To the UK. And also to Rome and to Rosetto. But first the UK and to Sandown, the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, that's right.
The Isle of Wight is another place that's famous for its legendary concerts. With Jimi Hendrix played there, and all sorts of The Who played there in like 1971 or something. And the Isle of Wight is kind of, I guess you can call it an island. It's more or less connected to the south part of of England, near Portsmouth, and the beach there is incredible. It's like it's a dream event. It's an extreme sports event at the beach. It's the only one I've ever heard of like this, because they also include windsurfing, they include kite surfing. So they want a place where you can do skateboarding, you can do rollerboarding, and these types of events, and at the same time present events like boat racing and things like that.
The water sports.
Includes Yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. I went out there last year with the organizer of the new sport of wind disc, Jamie, and we ended up meeting the organizers, and they're really fired up to do a beach tournament as part of the White Air. And their real focus is to move a lot of the events onto the beach, because they've also moved the dates. It was at the end of October, which is a little bit cold.
Yeah.
And now it's the end of August, which is beautiful time down there.
Yes,
that's right.
That's right.
Much more conducive to being on the beach. So the good thing is that we're going to be on the beach, and the beach is absolutely perfect. It's a flat beach.
Yes. I've jammed there myself. It's really good.
It's really great.
It's fantastic. There's also like some large grass areas right next to the beach from memory.
I uploaded that little video. I'm almost a little bummed that we're not having the tournament up on the grass area, but the problem is that grass area is a little bit removed from, it's inside the event, but it's a little removed from where all the spectators are. So
yeah, it's a bit further uphill, isn't it? So yeah.
There will absolutely be some jams up there. You wouldn't believe the place to jam up on top of the cliff on the grass there. It's like a Palm Park field with perfect wind. So either way, you can't lose.
Yep. Okay.
Sounds like an excellent tournament, and we can virtually guarantee, can't we, John, that we'll be there.
Yeah, I think
with
we can.
You, Tom, as well. So sounds like it's going to be good. So absolutely. When September kind of comes, we've got the Italian Open in Ostia, Italy. So that was the location for this year's AFCs, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it was. And the Corallo Beach, the organizers, were really fired up about the event last year, and they have promised to put a hard surface out for the event this year, coming year. So there's going to be a nice carpet there to play on. That was the only bummer. I mean, we had great weather. We had a great situation. We had big crowds last year. But the only problem was that there was too much soft sand. And
that's right, yeah.
So it was a little bit hard to move around on. But next year, that problem will be remedied. And
that'll be really good, actually.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're also looking to get some bigger sponsors. We had the City of Rome as the main sponsor, and they're promising to also sponsor this next tournament. And Lorenzo's working on some other sponsors as well. And we're trying to keep the cost as low as possible, and also to possibly even include some prize money. It's an open event, and Lorenzo basically wants this event to become a major type of event. I don't know how you create a new major these days. And back in the 80s, there were times when we had four, even three or even four majors within 1 year. Now we're down to one or two, so I think there's room for another major. And we'll see how it goes. He's calling it the Italian Open, which I guess in tennis you have the Australian Open, you have the French Open, which are majors. So
yeah,
that's his goal. And then the weekend after that will be the European Championships in Rosetto, which is about a 2-hour drive across Italy onto the east coast of Italy, but about the same latitude as Rome. And so that'll be the weekend after. And so if players can come from America or Russia, Alex, and come to Sandown.
We know he's listening.
You can hit the White Air tournament, which will be on a Wednesday and a Thursday. The Italian Open, which will be Saturday and Sunday. And then the next weekend, the European Championships in Rosetto, all within 12 days, excuse me.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
That's a wicked series of events.
It will be great.
Very tempting, yeah. Actually.
It is, isn't it?
Anything's possible. You need to get your sponsors together, guys.
We do, yeah. We're still searching for a sponsor, actually, Tom. We're getting there, aren't we, Joe?
Yeah, we are.
slowly.
We're pushing as hard as we can.
Well, you know, also with the low-cost airlines, you know, I mean, flying from England to Rome, I've seen flights for as low as like 30, 40 euro.
It really is cheap, yeah.
It's cheap, and if you end up camping or sharing a bungalow at the at Corallo Beach there, it's super cheap. So
it is, yeah.
Even without a sponsor, maybe you can get your mom to sponsor you or something.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I don't know actually, Joe. Do you reckon they would?
Would we want them as a sponsor?
Start doing some chores around the house, guys.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we'll get started now. We might just have worked up enough by next September.
Cook the tea so, tonight.
So as we draw towards the end of the year, a few more events on the City of Milan in September as well in Italy, another Italian one there. Any other important ones people need to know about before the end of the year?
Well, there'll be the Indian Summer event in the Northern California. Yeah. Then the big one, the Arizona States, which is also a huge event out in America. And then that's pretty much it. That's usually like the last event of the year. But I think that's a pretty full schedule the way it is now. So
that's a very full schedule.
Yep. Yeah. It certainly is, isn't it?
Yeah, well, having followed the schedules for kind of the last couple of years, that certainly looks like it's one of the fullest and most varied, most interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Seems like a lot of great locations, beaches, grass, a lot of great parties. Sounds like it will be.
It's going to be a fantastic year.
A great year.
The one thing I want people to start thinking about even a little further into the future in 2008 mm-hmm. is that the FPA championships will go back to America. And they should start brainstorming about where they might want to have it.
That's because right.
If you think about it, at the European Championships in Amsterdam 2004, I believe, we were trying to, or 2005, we were trying to discover what would be the best location for the Europeans to vote, because a lot of them weren't coming to the World Championships, so we weren't going to be able to vote for the next year's site for the World Championships when the championships were held in Seattle, and the vote happened out there. So they were like, okay, well, where would you guys like to go to a tournament instead of like, okay, who's making a bid and who's, you know, who can run the tournament? They said, what city would you like to go to? And some different ideas kind of just, you know, from brainstorming, people were saying, well, you know, I like Ireland, maybe in Dublin, Ireland or something. And somebody else going, well, you know what, I like Ibiza. And then somebody else goes, you know what, I like Berlin. And one of the German players, I believe it was Kolja or Marcus, I think it was Marcus, was walking by and said, huh? And you guys are talking about Berlin? What? Okay, so he started to join in the conversation. And eventually that's how Berlin ended up hosting the World Championships, is that a lot of the players had been to these other cities a lot and were like, I want to go to a new city. And Berlin was one of the more attractive cities. So in America, that's kind of, I think maybe we should start the discussion, like, instead of who can run the tournament, as where would the players like to go?
There
was one year where the tournament was held in Hawaii. And there was a lot of skepticism about it, like, oh, well, people won't come to Hawaii, it's too far to go. In fact, from New York, gosh, it's like 8 or 9 hours flight, like going to Europe or something. And New Yorkers came, there was a big turnout, and it was a huge success. So I think, what about you guys? If you went to America, what city would you like to go to? Now, New York is going to be tough, because just to let you know, having a tournament in New York City is like trying to run a tournament in Paris. You have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have to pay a lot of money to get some. But, I mean, it has been done before. But so New York might be a possibility. But what I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind was like, well, what about a city like Miami? It's one of the top destinations for Italian tourists to go to Miami. They've got great beaches and maybe that I've never been there, so I'm just kind of brainstorming. What about you guys?
Yeah, for me personally, because I've never been to America. I know Joe has a few times.
Yeah.
So I'd have to say a city like San Francisco or somewhere like that on the in California.
Yeah.
Would be a first choice for me.
Yeah, well, I've done both East and kind of West Coast trips. I've been to California, which I love, and I've also been to New York. So they're kind of two places that I think would be great. But they've both got traditions of freestyle as well.
Yeah, I mean, so really, I think that, you know, just because we have time now, we've got 6 months before the vote, and might be nice just to start to do a little bit of research, because I know there actually are players in Miami. I don't think they're on Jammers, but, you know, maybe we could, you know, if people are interested in these options, you know, Miami, San Francisco, I know there's definitely some players in San Francisco, and there's actually a field, Chrissy Field, where you might be able to run an event there. Might be better to try to do it as part of another event somewhere in this, even in the center of the city. But it would be that type of thing. We're just kind of brainstorming about, you know, what would be a cool place to spend a weekend or spend a week, spend your vacation.
Yeah. So, So I think any listeners who have any ideas, please send them in to us or, you know, post your ideas on the Yahoo groups. Get a bit of a discussion going about that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Have you anything else you'd like to add, Tom, about next year?
I think I've been rambling on long enough here.
I think we've covered just about enough.
I'm just really fired up, and the anticipation and expectations for next year are really high, and I hope. I hope everybody stays healthy, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out on tour.
Okay. Yep, thanks a lot for joining us, Tom.
Thanks a lot,
thanks, guys.
It's been a pleasure. Cheers.
Okay, cheers, Tom.
Bye-bye.
All right, once again, thanks, Tom Leitner, official UK. No, not official UK. Official world number one for coming on Discast and giving us that fantastic preview of 2007. Are you making your travel arrangements yet, John?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm in the process of starting to do so.
Excellent.
Quick, you know, check on Ryanair earlier on. So.
And not all dates are confirmed, of course, for next year yet, but there certainly seems to be an excellent schedule lined up. And
yep, I'm looking forward to it. It should be
the rough order of the events coming together. It should be great, yeah.
Okay, it's time for the Guess the Jammer results.
Da-da-da.
Do, 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 do.
Actually, first, John, can we update everyone on the answer and winners from last month?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
The answer to last month's clue was Dave Murphy, and correct answers came from Omer Rosenbaum from Israel. That's his second correct answer of the year. Well done. Also, new to the prize draw, Doug Corns from the USA. So, cheers, Doug.
So that means, from all the correct entries we've had this year, there are six entries, going into the draw for the Discast t-shirt and the high quality audio CD collection of the first 12 episodes.
Yep.
And the six people whose names have got in the hat are, Joe?
They are Omer Rosenbaum, Doug Corns, Alex Alexandra from Russia, Fabio Sana, Lisa Hunricks, and Omer Rosenbaum again.
Well done, guys. I've got the hat here now. Give it a bit of a shake.
Yep, I can hear that shaking action. That's good.
Right. They're all folded. We can't see the names at all.
No idea who's won yet.
Right. I've got one.
Okay.
I've got one.
All right.
Oof, the suspense. Oh, this is cool. It's Alex Alexandrov of Russia. Congratulations, Alex Beer.
Well,
you have won yourself. You have won yourself a Discast t-shirt and the high-quality audio CD collection. Hope you'll wear your t-shirt with pride. We haven't got them made yet, but shortly we'll do, and we'll get it posted to you. We'll send you an email to confirm, obviously, and we'll post it to you or give it to you at a tournament next year. But you will get your prizes, don't worry. Oh, that's good.
Excellent. Well, Alex has been a great fan this year, don't you think, John?
Oh, definitely.
I think if we had a Fan of the Year award, it would quite possibly go to him. So we've been getting good feedback from you.
Good feedback, good suggestions. So thanks for listening, Alex Veer. Yep.
Yep.
Cheers.
Great stuff.
So it's time for Joe's Bumper Fact
Woohoo.
Segment, which I'm looking forward to because I've never heard any of these facts. So I'm getting really excited.
Okay, well, it's coming to the end of 2006 now. It's our kind of Christmas sort of holiday special. So I've got this kind of big bumper fact section together. And what it does is it kind of, the facts in it relate to earlier facts in the year that I've given that have been, you know, particularly popular or I felt have been quite successful facts.
Okay.
So, you know, firstly I'll start off with, if you remember the Frisbee camera gadget that I talked about slightly earlier in the year.
Oh, yes, I do.
The Frisbee with a camera on top. That
could, what was its name? It had a name.
What was it called? The name escapes me now, but I remember it being reported by the one of the UK gadget magazines anyway.
Anyway,
there's a sort of similar gadget that new information has come out on. So the fact about this is there's a Frisbee called the IFO Frisbee. And it's E-Y-E-F-O Frisbee. I don't really know why they name. But as they say, this Frisbee-style flying saucer packs an onboard computer that can display any message of your choice. So a processor, which is housed on the underside of the disc, transmits the message to an LED display on the side. Okay, so it's basically a Frisbee with a special LED on the side that when rotating at high speeds will spell out a fully customizable message. So that's quite a cool idea.
Very, very useful, of course.
It is actually a UK product as well.
Oh, excellent.
However, this is rather a hypothetical or perhaps even unofficial design at this stage, I must be said. You can see what the design would look like on otherlandtoys.co.uk/ifo.htm. But there is some rather questionable material on this page as to actually how genuine the design is compared to production. But anyway, it's definitely a cool hypothetical fact anyway. Okay. Now.
Yeah, I'm looking at that picture now, Joe. I've just loaded it up.
Oh, yeah? Excellent.
Oh, very cool. It looks really cool, actually. Check it out, everyone.
Check it out, yeah. So that's gadgets, you know. There's a bit of news on the gadget scenes surrounding Frisbee anyway. Now, excellent. If you'll also cast your mind back to my last fact, I think it was, I told you about a professor with a first name, Frisbee.
Yep, you did.
Professor Frisbee Sheffield.
King's College London, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Yep.
So now I've got three people to tell you about who also have Frisbee in their name. But these have all got Frisbee as a surname, which is quite interesting. There's Mike Frisbee, who is a professional UK photographer, and he's commercially photographed many notable celebs, including, John, the Queen of England.
Oh, wow.
So, big-time philosopher, photographer there. That's Mike Frisbee. Also, excellent. There's Vanessa Frisbee, who's a woman who has become infamous for providing information to a UK tabloid on a scandalous article relating to Naomi Campbell. That's the UK model and actress.
All right.
And also, there's Lonnie Frisbee, possibly the most famous, who actually rose to fame in the 70s. He's a somewhat controversial guy, and he has been called a hippie preacher. And there was a film even made about his life. So there's many, many places that you can actually read about him. So that's people with the name Frisbee. Okay.
So is that surname actually spelled Frisbee correctly as
Frisbee,
well?
Frisbee, FRISBEE. Now, I think Lonnie may have been a kind of a public name, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm quite sure that Mike and Vanessa, their names at least, are perfectly genuine Frisbee's surnames.
That's cool.
And also, just to finish off, I thought I love providing Frisbee records as my fact. I've done it a couple of times. As a follow-up to records given previously, such as a highest altitude throw and farthest non-human distance throw, and in honour
by Alex the Sea Lion,
of course, And of course, this is slightly topical, just out of the MTA record has just been broken. But a couple of records that actually relate to freestyle are like the most people in one chest roll, the chest roll record.
Oh, yeah.
It was set in the World Masters Championships in 96, as a lot of records actually were, a lot of the more novelty records anyway. And the most people in a chest roll are 19 players. So, there you go.
Whoa, that would take some Z's.
It certainly would. I'm not quite sure how they did it, but if anyone can beat that with their group of jamming friends, I'd be rather amazed.
So that's really
And
good.
Then how about this one, John? Consecutive chest rolls.
Oh, go on.
A guy that I've never actually heard of, but I'm sure some people probably will have. William Chulin in 1991.
How many?
Consecutive chest rolls, 94.
Very impressive indeed.
So,
wow.
Are you putting chest rolls out there, including talented people such as, there's loads of people who are great at consecutive chest rolls, Larry, Tom, Fabio.
I can imagine Fabio or Tom really pushing that.
Yeah,
actually.
I'd challenge anyone that can to push it.
Yeah, go for it.
Whether anyone ever feels they've done more than that, but it's just not been an official WIFDIF record, then that's questionable. But
it is WIFDIF. That's a new. Thanks, Tom, for introducing that pronunciation to us in the.
Yeah, we've now got.
We always thought it was WFDF, but
which it is.
That's cool.
Which it is, of course.
Which it is.
But new in our frisbee lexicon is WIFDIF, the abbreviation.
WIFDIF. I like it. Okay, that wraps up episode 12 of Discast. It's been
indeed.
A successful first year, we think, for our frisbee freestyle podcast.
It's been great.
We've had lots of downloads each month. We've been monitoring the downloads and from a wide variety of countries.
Yeah, we certainly have. As we started off in January, we think it's really built up to a good, consistent standard of episode.
It has.
Good lengths, guests on more or less, every show for how-tos and or discussions.
Yep. We are hoping to introduce a few new changes to the format of the episodes for next year.
Discast in 2007 should hopefully be coming with great production quality as always, and a bit of a new format for the new year.
Definitely.
So thanks.
Discast season one is finally
complete. So happy holidays, everyone, and thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you.
Hit the stop button, John, for the last time in 2006.
Okay, three,
two,
one,
stop.